We next catch up with Willie Terry, who is honored by the Capital District Solidarity Committee for his work as the Roman labor correspondent for WOOC. So Willie, why do you invest so much time in trying to cover the labor movement here in the Capital District?
Well, I guess it's probably because where I came from in my experience. I was a labor president. I worked in the labor movement in CSEA for like 32 years, organizing and working on labor programs, going to rallies and supporting people. So, you know, that's in my background.
Mm-hmm. What have been some of the, you know, most critical labor stories that you've covered in the last year?
Oh, well, I think one of the great ones that I covered in the last year has been events that happened with the Solidarity Committee. You know, people don't know a lot, probably don't know a whole lot about the Solidarity Committee, but, you know, the Solidarity Committee do a lot of things. They support struggles. They were the first one to start the Martin Luther King program here in Albany. And all the struggles and social justice protests they have been involved in. And not only that, but they also let you know that those things are happening.
So what do you see as some of the big, labor struggles coming up in the coming year?
Well, labor got to get more into organizing and develop an organizing base so that they could recruit not just union members, but also organize the community. And they also got to get involved in the global warming climate issue, too. That's very important. And then the political issue, you know, if we will keep trunking if labor don't really, go out full force.
Well, you mentioned you've been involved in, labor issues at least 30, 40 years. What have been some of the key changes in recent years? And, you know, are you hopeful about the future of the labor movement at the moment?
Yeah, well, some of the key changes that labor have been getting things for their members, good contracts. They just got the paid family medical leave, which was one of the demands, which is a real good key demand, because if people's families are taken care of, then they feel at ease to get involved in other things. So that's been one of the real big issues. The downturn with that Janus decision that came out, the Trump Supreme Court people let get through. So that's kind of a bad thing. Where labor's going in the future, that remains to be seen right now. You know, it remains to be seen on how strong labor can get involved politically and what they can accomplish politically.
And as the well-known Roman labor correspondent for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network, what are you hoping to accomplish with your radio work?
Well, I think, like I said when I spoke in there, that the corporate media don't do labor justice. And I think the local media, like the Sanctuary for Independent Media and other local media, nonprofit media, they can put information out about labor in a sense that people can understand and know about the history of the labor movement. And then once people know the history and know a lot of things about labor movement, then hopefully people will become more involved. Because labor is not a society or a group or a club. Labor is the community itself. Just the only thing is that it's just the community when people work and they organize together to get things done for society itself.
And if people have an idea they want to suggest to you about your coverage as the Roman labor correspondent, how best can they get a hold of you?
518-369-4978. Or contact the Sanctuary for Independent Media Center.
And that is Willie Terry, honored this year by the Capital District Labor Solidarity Committee as the Roman labor correspondent for Hudson Mohawk Radio Network. So we're talking with Tom Ellis, a member of the Capital District Solidarity Committee. And one of the issues I've heard Tom raise over the years has been problems with the Champlain-Hudson Power Express, which is a transmission line, allegedly going to be bringing hydro Quebec electricity down into New York City and elsewhere. Tom, what are some of the concerns around this project?
Well, for me, the major concern is that Hydro-Quebec and Newfoundland and Labrador, which is the province to the east, are literally destroying rivers to construct power stations to export electricity for to the United States, especially New York and New England. And Hydro-Quebec has been doing it for decades, and it's not like Niagara Falls where they dig a pipe through the rock around the waterfall and half the water gets diverted through the pipe. What's happening in Quebec and Labrador is that river valleys, which are relatively flat, are being diked, which means a wall is being built around the top of the river valley, and then a dam at the outlet of it, and then a power station built there. So huge areas of land are being flooded. And so you're creating these giant reservoirs. And when this land gets flooded, the water gets poisoned. There's mercury in the ground, which gets into the water, methyl mercury, which is toxic to the fish and any other living thing that drinks it or eats the fish. When the river valley gets flooded, the vegetation in the river can no longer take carbon dioxide out of the air, so it actually makes climate change worse. And plus, the rotting vegetation in the flooded river valley releases methane and some carbon dioxide into the air, so it's another negative as far as climate change. So the governments of Quebec and Newfoundland are promoting these projects as clean and green and renewable, and they're actually contributing to climate change. And most people don't know that because most people have a pretty positive image of hydroelectricity. But there's several different types of hydroelectricity. And so what's a developer in Toronto called Transmission Developers Incorporated proposed about 10 years ago to build a one-way electric cord from the Canadian border near Clinton County near Rouse's Point to Astoria, Queens. And basically it would come ashore on land in Rouse's Point, then it would dip into the Lake Champlain, where it would be buried in two trenches under the lake. Then it would come ashore, I think near someplace in Warren County, I forget exact town, and it would come on land around the part of the Hudson River where the PCBs are. So it would come through Warren County, Saratoga County, Schenectady County. It would come right down. It would be buried along railroad rights of way. So it would come right down Erie Boulevard in Schenectady, through Albany County, would come out into the Hudson River. It would be buried in two trenches under the Hudson River down to Rockland County. Then in Rockland County, it would come ashore for about 10 or 15 miles along, I think, Route 9W, where it would be buried again. Then it would come back out into the Hudson River and be buried again. And then into the East River and the Harlem River, where it would come ashore in New York City.
So, Tom, about 90 seconds left. What should people do at this point, both to find out more about this project, but also to, you know, who do you need to convince to stop it?
I think in New York we need to convince Governor Cuomo to stop it, and which is not easy to do. Cuomo doesn't really listen much to people, in my opinion. We need to push the Public Service Commission to make sure that it doesn't get built. You can get information from me at the Solidarity Committee. My email address is TOMELLIS107@gmail.com. There's also an international coalition called the North American Megadam Resistance Alliance, NAMRA, and they have a website. And so it's quite a big coalition in New York and in New England and in Labrador and a little bit in Quebec to try to stop these projects. And in Quebec, Hydro-Quebec has literally destroyed the Romaine River, which is 700 or 800 miles east of Montreal. They've built three reservoirs on the river, and they're finishing a fourth one. And in Labrador, about 1,200 miles east of here, on the Grand River, also called the Churchill River, a dam has been built near Muskrat Falls, and it's being flooded right now. So 59 kilometers of river valley is being flooded to about 40 meters deep.
Okay, and so this has been Tom Ellis and Hudson Mohawk Radio Network with Mark Dunlight.